May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is John Vigilevo Barzilai Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Breed Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel who are now entering the sanctuary. And now I present one of the sons of Israel, Isaiah Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May peace be with each and every one of you. Today my title is The House of Yahweh Established. The very first house of Yahweh was established in a city named after Yahweh's first priest, Abel. If you travel west from Abilene, Israel, you will pass right through Abilene, Texas. There, Yahweh's last days established house is. We see in Isaiah 34 and verse 5 how Yahweh gathers people from the west. If you all please turn to Isaiah 43 and verse 5, found on page 557. On Isaiah 43 and verse 5, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the west and gather them from the west." Yeah. The prophets Isaiah and Micaiah, being inspired by Yahweh, that the prophecy that the house of Yahweh will be reestablished in Abilene, Texas. The chief of all nations. What is the chief of all nations? Yes, the United States of America. In Isaiah 2:2, on page 531, Isaiah 2:2, and it says, "It will come to pass that in the last days that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of all nations and will be raised over all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it." Also, in Micaiah 4:1, on page 705, Micaiah 4:1, and it says, But in the last days, it will come to pass that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of all nations and will be raised over all congregations, and all nation and all people will eventually flow to it." Yahweh also tells us how the house of Yahweh will be reestablished. In Zechariah 4:11 through 14, on page 719, Zechariah 4:11 through 14, and it says, Then I answered and said to him, "What are those two olive trees, one on the right side of the lampstand, and and one on the left side of it. Then he answered, "Those are the two anointed ones who stand forth the supreme ruler of the whole earth." On your own time, you can read in Isaiah 44:1-3 and verse 5 to learn more about the one Yahweh has chosen to place his name. In the second book of Israel, chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, Something was said in the news the other night, and I remember me of the that occurred here. There was such fear in the hearts of the people when the house of Yahweh was established among the Christian world. This is three major universities. Abilene is also said being the buckle of the Bible Belt. In conclusion, Yahweh has given us, the house of Yahweh, a job to do. The house of Yahweh must be published in the message of the kingdom and all the world, and then the end will come. And with that, if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to Sonny Shalabel for prayer.
Son of Yishalabel, Deacon Yoshua David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Today I'd like to speak on a very important topic, something that we should all be trying to do, and that's maintaining our positive character, or maintaining the Spirit holy that Yahweh put in us at baptism and is building in us through his teachings. So the peaceful solution compares it, our positive character, that's what it teaches it as, is our positive character. It compares it to maintaining a car. Okay, and how do you maintain a car? Well, you check the oil, you make sure that it has enough oil, you put gas in it so it runs, you do checkups on it, maintenance, to make sure that it doesn't break down. Well, our positive character, or the spirit that Yahweh puts in us, is the same way. We can't just put gas in it once, or we can't come to services once, or study once, and expect to still have that positive character, or Yahweh's spirit, growing in us. Or maintaining in us. So you have to keep doing it continually. You have to keep working at it. You have to keep studying. You have to keep coming to the classes, coming to services, doing your best to keep your positive character up, or Yahweh spirit up, in your body, in your mind. So simply put, anytime you hear positive character, anytime you hear the peaceful solution talking about your morals or your positive character, it's talking about Yahweh spirit, the spirit of Yahweh that we're all trying to build. Anytime you hear Yahweh's Spirit mentioned, it's talking about the positive character that's brought forth by the peaceful solution. Those words are interchangeable. So we have to constantly make choices that are demonstrating self-control. Now, what is self-control? Okay, it's controlling your thoughts. That's what we learn in the peaceful solution. Now, it's the same thing in the house of Yahweh, which the peaceful solution is part of the house of Yahweh. So it's the same thing. Resisting negative influences, resisting Satan's influences that he puts in our head by controlling your thoughts. Controlling your thoughts. When you control your thoughts, if you control your thoughts and make positive choices, you won't make choices that are going to hurt yourself, others, or the environment. You're not going to do anything to jeopardize your position in Yahweh's kingdom. So how do we do that? How do we control our thoughts? What does the scriptures say we have to do? If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, on page 498, it says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life." So if you remember, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 tells us to teach our children diligently. Notice here, it's also telling us to guard our mind diligently. So that means it's not just something that's going to be, that you can overlook. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes constantly having the peaceful solution in the forefront of your mind to guard your mind from negative decisions, from negative influences. It takes always having Yahweh's laws in your mind to guard your mind from negativity, from Satan's influences. So guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. And those springs of life would be the teachings as well that would come forth from our mind, from our mouth, when we teach others, from our actions, when we teach by our examples, if we're guarding our mind. So that's why that's so important, because we're always teaching. We're teaching by our examples. And emotions can flare up in our mind at any time. Because remember, we're influenced from all different directions, and those thoughts lead to feelings. You know, you have the trigger that triggers a thought, which is that influence. Those thoughts lead to feelings or emotions. And they spring up at any time. And if we allow them to mess with our positive thinking, then we'll flare up at people. We'll yell at people. We'll start arguments with people. We'll have conflicts, and we won't know how to solve them unless we're guarding our mind, unless we're doing what is taught by the house of Yahweh. So we have to guard our mind. Protect your mind from influences or from making choices that will compromise your positive character or that would grieve spirit holy. In the self-control unit on page 11, it says, guard your mind. It says, another key concept in developing self-control is to be aware that your actions begin with your thoughts. You know, it's easy to say after the fact, you know, well, I wasn't thinking at that time, but we're always thinking. It says thoughts run out of our mind at the speed of light or faster. So we're always thinking. We just have to learn that even when those thoughts are going crazy in our mind and we want to lash out at somebody or we want to make a negative decision, that we have to control it. Set your mind in advance, which I'll get into a little bit more, to control it. It's up to you to determine if your thoughts can help you build your character, because remember, your thoughts lead to feelings and actions, and those actions, the choices that we make, is what proves our character, if we have a positive or a negative character. So it's up to us to determine if they'll help us build our character or if they'll lead to choices that we will regret. Although thoughts flow in and out of our minds, the same thing with influences. Influences come at us all the time. We have the power to control what thoughts we focus on and what thoughts we let go. That's something we should always remember. We are the ones in control of our mind. Okay? Satan can be doing all kind of crazy things around us. We have the power to say, no, I'm not going to yield to those influences. Okay? So we are the ones in control of our minds and our bodies. People who focus on negative thoughts about themselves and others or about the things they want to do are setting themselves up to fail and to engage in behavior they will eventually regret. So if you focus on negativity, whether it's negative thoughts about yourself and others or negative influences that are coming in from the outside, you're setting yourself up to fail. So change the negative or accentuate the positive, and by doing so, you'll eliminate the negative. In the world around us, which some of us work out in, some of us have to travel into, Pastor's telling us to try to minimize our access to the world outside. It says, in this world around us, there's so many influences coming at us from everywhere. And that's why it's so important that we don't go out and try to put negative influences in our mind, because that's only harming yourself even more. So there's so many influences coming at us from everywhere. But it takes effort, commitment, and determination, meaning you have to want to do it, and then you have to do your best to do it and learn how to do it from the peaceful solution to rid yourself of these negative influences or to avoid these negative influences. Flee from, resist the devil and she will flee from you. The next thing we need to remember is that every action begins with a thought, which we just covered. So you have to set your mind in advance by controlling your thoughts before you make the choice, of course. So you're setting your mind in advance not to make that decision, and you're training yourself through practice in your mind how not to make that decision. So that when the situation comes up, you'll already know in your mind how to deal with it. That you won't fall victim to Satan's traps that are readily available. You have to make up your mind not to be influenced. Set your mind in advance. If you remember Yahshua, when Satan was influencing him and was presenting him with all these grand positions and the position of Pope and all these things, a lot of people, those would be very strong influences to them to turn the other way. But no, he had his mind set in advance that he wasn't going to go that way. So that's how, praise Yahweh, we need to do the same thing. So you have to watch your thoughts. Pay attention to your thoughts. Don't just let them fly in and out of your mind without paying attention to them. Watch your thoughts. We've been taught what negative and positive thoughts are. Okay, thoughts that lead to any choices that will harm yourself, others, or the environment, or break rules, break the laws of Yahweh, are negative thoughts. We can't do them. So, or we shouldn't, definitely shouldn't do them. So immediately, when these thoughts come into your mind, reevaluate them. Reevaluate those thoughts and turn them into positive thoughts, or get rid of the negative thoughts and replace them with positive thoughts. You can do that by setting your mind in advance, once again, by practicing it in your mind. Don't let yourself down, and if you let yourself down, not only are you letting yourself and your brothers down, you're also letting Yahweh down. So don't do that. Evaluate your choices, because those thoughts will lead to choices. They'll lead to feelings and eventually choices or actions. So there will be situations that we're not going to expect, things that come up out of nowhere, it seems like. You know, whether it's you're having a stressful day at home or at work, and something comes up. And they just seem to come out of nowhere. The Peaceful Solution calls them curveballs and pitfalls that just seem to come up out of nowhere. And they test our ability to practice self-control. They test us to see, have you been setting your mind in advance? You know, have you been controlling your thoughts? So it's easy, really easy, to just, you know, explode or retaliate or make negative choices. Scream and holler at people or whatever it might be. But we know that later on we'll go back and regret it and we'll be, you know, beating ourselves up for it, which is something else we should do our best not to do if we make a mistake. But you're going to regret it afterwards. So why not save yourself from all that hassle, set your mind in advance not to do it? That way when the situation comes, you'll actually be glad that you practiced, that you made a positive choice, and that you didn't hurt anybody or yourself. So set your mind in advance. It always works out better. Never retaliate, because we all know later on, you know, we regret it afterwards. Never retaliate, because that also causes the other person, if they're not practicing self-control, to have negative feelings welling up about you and themselves. So never retaliate. It only makes the situation worse. Now, that's not going to be easy the first few times, but with consistent practice and all that, it'll get a lot easier, a lot better. So now there's times that we might slip up and make mistakes. Everybody does. That's the whole reason we're overcoming. So we can't, hold things against people and bear a grudge against people, which is another thing we shouldn't do. You have to remember everybody is overcoming and striving. Think about that. Praise Yahweh. Think about how that person was, you know, when they first came to the house, and think about them now, and you'll realize that they're improving. You're improving, okay? Everybody's improving regardless of the crazy things that we do. Praise Yahweh. So everybody's improving, and we should all be doing our best to overcome. So here's something to remember if you make a mistake. And this is my most liked chapter in the Peaceful Solution, chapter 4 of the Self-Control Unit. And I'll just read a small part of it on page 89. It says, even if you've made mistakes in the past that you now regret, it's not too late to change and turn your life around. Prepare so you will never make that mistake again. Remember, where there is determination, there is hope. So if you were not taught the value of obtaining a positive character and you've been negatively influenced, you can learn from your mistakes. And I always use the analogy of, like, you know, you could take your mistakes and imagine that they're big boulders in the road. And you could trip and fall over them and fall all over your face. But let's not do that. Let's climb up on top of them, use them as, you know, stepping stones to get across that situation or to build yourself up in life. So, learn from them. Pick yourself back up and keep learning. Set your mind in advance right now to stand up and make choices that will build a positive moral character. Also be determined not to repeat past mistakes. And how do we do that? Once again, you set your mind in advance. So be determined not to repeat past mistakes. Instead, focus on maintaining your positive character traits. Focus on building Yahweh's spirit inside of you, Yahweh's character inside of you. Do the best you can to avoid making mistakes by setting your mind in advance and being prepared to handle these tests and trials that come up, these curveballs and pitfalls, like it says here. But if you do make a mistake, don't give up. It's really easy, especially if you do something that you think is horrible, okay? It's really easy to be like, man, I don't even know if I want to keep trying. But no, it's really easy to give up, but don't do it. Keep moving forward to setting your mind on maintaining your positive character. Praise Yahweh. Give yourself room to grow and consider them as lessons learned. So everybody, I'd really like you to think about that throughout the week, whether it's there's influences around you at work or even in your own mind. You know, set your mind in advance that when those influences come, don't dwell on them. Get them out of your mind and replace them with positive thoughts. Positive thoughts. So if you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. It's a great blessing to speak before the great saints of Yahweh that Yahweh is recognizing as very honorable at this time. And I'm going to talk a little bit about today about some signs from heaven again. And, you know, I want to remind everyone, first of all, that this week, does everybody remember the anniversary this week? Yahweh is in full control. And Yahweh is really showing this in grand fashion, okay? And there's been so many signs in the heavens over the last 7 days that I don't even have time to go into it. It would probably take, you know, probably a few days to go through all of them that have been taking place. But I do want to talk to you today about some occurrences with some rainbows, okay? Before we do that, though, I want to talk to you a little bit about, I want to remind you of the meaning of this year. You know, remember, 2016 in Strong's, it means reverse, different, contrary, and it means to turn things around. Okay, to turn things around. Yes, we are going to turn things around. Now, you know, we couldn't do this by ourselves. Remember, this Leviathan is so huge. There has to be a big reset button pushed. Okay? There has to be a reset button pushed, and it's going to be Yahweh that's going to do this. Yahweh is going to fight our battles for us. Do you have any doubt that Yahweh can do this? Is there anything too hard for Yahweh? Well, guess who's going to be assisting him in this work? That's right, all of us. Pastor, Yahshua, and all of us, the saints of Yahweh, right? We're going to turn these things around. I want to remind you of the war memorial, the Way of Cain down there. Cain Way, they call it now. It's got a sign down there. And y'all remember, I remember talking about this before, but I'm going to show you on 12:21:13. In the 13th book of Israel, part 2, you know, the last thing Pastor said in that sermon, he told Pope Francis, let my people go, let them come to keep the feast, let us turn this around. Let's turn this around. You know, let's turn this world around from war, fighting, hatred, and revenge, you know, to peace and abundant living for everyone. Has Pope Francis heeded the call? No, he did not, just like the Pharaoh in Moshe's day, you know, his heart was hard and he did not turn. Now, that was on 12:21:13. On 12:21:15, just a few months ago, y'all remember what occurred down there with that sword that fell off the top of that, remember Constantine's sword on the top of the rocket down there? Fell down and it's still sitting there to this day as a memorial of how this is going to be turned around, okay? And on the very anniversary of the date that Pastor gave that sermon, let us turn this around. We are going to stop all wars, saints of Yahweh. Okay, so, I don't want to miss anything, so let me be careful here. By the way, also, 2016 is from 2015, and it means overturn, to change, and also to restore. Remember, we're going to restore this earth to its former beauty and all the planets. You know, this is going to be a big job, but it's going to be done by the saints of Yahweh. Turn over to Revelation chapter 10. That's where Pastor was speaking last Sabbath, Revelation 10, on page 977. And we're just going to look at verse 1. We're going to focus on verse 1 before I show you these signs, these miraculous signs. Revelation 10:1 on page 977. Okay. It says, "And I saw another," remember, you can X out that word "another." "I saw a mighty Moloch come down from heaven." Come down from heaven. Okay, that means, you know, you saw wings on his back, like in Christianity, and he just kind of floated down, right? Okay, I'm just going to give you a couple scriptures. Let's go over to Jacob, the book of Jacob, chapter 1. And Jacob chapter 1 on page 953, Jacob 1:17 says, "Every righteous gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, the Father of light, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning." Okay, now remember that righteous gift and perfect gift being from above, and it comes down from the Father of light, meaning that Yahweh, the one sent is sent through prophecy. He's spoken of in the Holy Scriptures, sent by Yahweh. Okay? Remember, how can they preach unless they're sent? Right? Remember Romans 10, I believe it is. Let's turn over to Romans 10 right quick. Romans 10. Page 881, verse 14 says, "How then can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear about without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the message of peace, who bring glad tidings of righteous things." Okay, now, so our overseer, back to Revelation chapter 10, is sent by Yahweh. He comes down by Yahweh's authority. It's written of in the scriptures. Revelation 10:1, it says, "He saw him come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head." And, you know, if you look up that word "upon," you know, you'll also notice it means around, in the vicinity of, okay? I want to talk to you about a little incident here on 5:8:16. But before I look at that, I want to show you another picture that was taken by the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins. Now, this one was on 5:2, and it was on FM 603. He said he was driving down. That almost looks like it's taken straight out of the pages of Time magazine or some really beautiful. I mean, it could have been in National Geographic or something like that. It's a very beautiful picture. But it's right off 603. Right up here, you'll see Pastor's face right there. Okay? Right just above that color line right there. You see Pastor's face here. And I darkened it a little bit here for you so you can see it a little better. Okay? Now, Pastor's face has been seen in quite a number of rainbows, hasn't it? Right above the rainbows. You remember Passover, not this past year, but the last year before that, before we celebrated the Seder, Pastor's face over the rainbow with a microphone, actually showing him before he was even up here with that microphone in his hand performing the Seder. Does everybody remember these things? Okay. What's interesting about that picture that the great Kohan took, it was on 5:2:16, and he did my homework for me. He wrote this down for me. 5:2 means father of a gift. Father of a gift. Didn't we just read about a gift in Jacob 1:17? Every righteous gift and every perfect gift. Turn over to Numbers 18. Numbers 18. Numbers 18. And I believe verse 7 on page 126. It says, "But only you." Let's look at verse 6. "I myself have chosen your brothers, the Levites, from among the children of Israel as a gift to you, given by Yahweh to do the work of the tent of meeting. But only you and your sons may serve as priests in connection with everything at the altar and behind the veil, in the holy place and the holy of holies, and you shall serve. I am giving you the service of the priesthood as a gift. Now, who's the greatest priest on earth at this time? That's right, it's Israel Hawkins, working with our earthly high or heavenly high priest, Joshua, right? Okay, he is a perfect gift, a righteous gift from Yahweh. And Yahweh is his father, he's the father of that perfect gift. Also, I'll give you these other definitions. It was taken at 849, and it means to endeavor, to labor. You know, isn't that the service of the priesthood? Labor. And it says to labor with your hands, to do a thing with your hands. And the house, and it means also, it's image number 1017, which means house of the mighty one or the house of Yahweh. So a few days later, now this one is on 5/8/16. This last first day, there was another one seen. Now, Pastor described this to me as going from the sanctuary here to the three-story where he does the prophetic word program. That's what he saw, okay? He witnessed with his own eyes, and not only him, but other witnesses called him to show him these, to tell him about it. But we did something even greater than that. We got a picture here that I'm going to show you, if I can get to it. You know, once you get up here, these things start like moving around, popping around, doing some funny things, squirming around. It might be the presenter, I don't know, but we'll see if I can do the best I can here. This rainbow that Pastor was talking about, I want you to notice, I darkened it. The actual person that took the picture darkened it for me so you can see this a little better. But you see the rainbow here? And who do you see here? With a beautiful crown and a robe. As you can see right here, here's his face. With his crown and a robe, a white robe, right there, kind of sitting, reclining there. Really peaceful. Really peaceful while all hell's breaking loose on this side over here. Because that side over there represents those that are enraged. That are enraged against Pastor Israel Hawkins and the house of Yahweh at this time. Because the house of Yahweh is about to be greatly exalted in the earth. Do you believe that? Yeah. Can y'all see that okay? I know it gets pixelated out there on the screens, but it's very clear up here, and we'll be glad to show it to anybody that would like to see. To me, that's almost as clear as the one in the nebula out there 1,500 light years out in space, okay, taken by NASA. Now, that was on 5/8/16. Now, I want to remind you, and this will be my opportunity now to clear up something that y'all remember the first new moon we spotted, the first moon of this year? It was on 4/8, just one moon before, exactly, 4/8. And if you remember, the sunset was at 8:04 p.m. on the calendar, because that's Abilene time. But remember, we're a little east of Abilene, okay? And the sun down here was at 8:03, and I got up here and said something about, well, the calendar must be wrong. Well, no, the calendar's not wrong. It's the presenter that didn't quite get it across properly, but that the calendar's not wrong. This calendar's great. This is a perfect calendar, okay? I'm just not yet, okay? But 8:03 is actually the time it went down in Clyde, okay? Now, interestingly enough, one moon later, exactly, and even to the time, at 8:03, let me actually back that up here. Here's the time right there, Sunday, 8:03. And that's the clear picture before we darkened it. 8:03. Now get this. If this doesn't make your heart swell with joy, it means certainty, security. Safety, security, and reliability. Now, that does that not describe the greatest teacher in the world in these last days? Does it also describe our great high priest? Is he not certain and sure and steadfast? And what about Yahweh? Is there any variation or shadow of turning with him? No, there's not. Yahweh does not change. And you can be sure and certain and firm on that. It also means exact truth. Remember, First Yochanan, no lie is of the truth. And remember, turn over to Yochanan 7:18 real quick. Yochanan 7:18. Yochanan 7:18. Speaking about the one sent. Who's the one sent by Yahweh in these last days, saints? Now, this is Yahshua doing the speaking here on page 822. 7:18 says, "He who speaks on his own seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who is sent, who sent him." Do you ever hear pastor up here boasting and bragging about anybody but Yahweh and Yahshua? I don't hear him up here boasting and bragging about himself. But he sure seeks to magnify and glorify Yahweh through the teaching of the laws and the prophets. That proves that he's the one sent by Yahweh. If he was a worldly preacher, oh, he'd be up here with that book in his hand and it would be closed and he'd be up here doing this number. Walking around talking about how we need that new air conditioner. Well, we gave up the air conditioner for the Peaceful Solution books. You know what I'm saying? We'll get our air conditioned later, okay? Right now, we're giving up these things for the sake of the great work of Yahweh. Let me continue reading this. He who speaks on his own seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. There's no unrighteousness in Israel Hawkins. None whatsoever. It also means undoubted truth. I'll just give you some of the other definitions. It's from 804, and it means safe, reliable, and trustworthy. Certain, definite facts, safeguard, and sure. And 803 in the Hebrew means foundation. Foundation. Okay? Foundation. And it also means, it's from 806, and it means pillars. Turn over to Revelation 10 again. Okay, Revelation 10. I got to get through these really rapidly. Revelation 10:1. "And I saw another mighty Moloch come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Pillars of fire. Which brings me to number, there was also the number 81 in that picture. Big and bold. Well, actually, big and gold. Let me flip it over for you. Right there. You see the number 8 and a number 1. 81. Well, 81 in the Greek means brotherhood, brethren or brothers. And it's from the Greek word adaphos, which is number 80. And it means Delphus, womb, brethren, brothers, from the same womb, brothers from the same womb. Remember the two witnesses, brothers born of the same two parents. But not only that, it's also describing all of you. Those who are going to be exalted to the same heavenly place which Yahshua enjoys. Remember Romans 8:29? He's the firstborn among many brothers. We won't have his position, but we're going to be assisting him in this work, are we not, saints of Yahweh? Now, number 81 in the Hebrew, it means powder or powders, and it's from this word, abak, and it means dust. Dust. As light particles. Light particles, dust. It traces to number 79, which means wrestled. And now get this. Have you all been getting dusty here? It's pretty dusty here, isn't it? Every time I come here, I got to get a car wash when I go back to Laredo. It's pretty dusty here. But that's not the dust we're going to talk about here. It says get dusty means sit at the feet. Sit at their feet. Sit at the feet of who? It means to be dust, grapple, wrestle, as in Genesis 32:25. Remember, Jacob wrestled with the Moloch. Y'all remember that? And he prevailed, it said. Y'all remember that? That he prevailed. Because the other interesting thing about this word, I was going to show you the definition of, give me just a second. My time's almost up, but I got to get this date in. Here it is. The date that the rainbow was seen was on 5/8/16, and it's this word here. And it's from this word here, not to be confused with the Wizard of Oz. That's probably pronounced O's. And it means strength, fortress, mighty power, strength, strong, stronghold. Is the house of Yahweh not a stronghold, brothers? Is it not the protected place, Psalm 91? But notice what it also means here. Prevail. Prevail. Remember, the gates of Baal or hail will not prevail against the house of Yahweh, but the house of Yahweh is going to prevail. The house of Yahweh is going to prevail over sin. We are going to sin never again. I know sometimes we look at one another and it's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? You know, all these personalities kind of bumping each other all the time, right? But you know what? Yahweh promises us, saints of Yahweh, the gates of hell will not prevail, and we are going to overcome, and we are going to turn this around, and we are going to stop all wars. We're going to do it with Yahweh and Yahshua's help. And the greatest gift that we could have been given, next to the character education that he teaches us, the greatest gift, our pastor Israel Hawkins, and this great priesthood that was given as a gift to his sons, all of us that overcome. And with that, it's been a great honor speaking to you today. I'd like to turn it over now to one of Yahweh's great saints, the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Now, going along with today's news, I want you to keep in mind this coming out of this sin-sick world and partaking not of their ways. We start off with something known as the knockout game. We've shown this before, but it kind of slowed down as far as people putting it on the internet, where they actually go up randomly on the street. Imagine this, you're standing on the street and someone comes up and hits you as hard as they can, and their goal is to knock you out. And the only thing waiting to catch you is the concrete or asphalt that you're going to hit next. Well, it's getting more energy now, building more steam, and they're actually, when you see these children, they hit this 66-year-old man, and listening at the laughter and the complete foolishness, no empathy for this person, no remorse for what they had done, of course, and think about what it takes and the training or the lack of training that it took to get to that point. Don't just notice the act, but think about this lack of training that is the cause of this act, of this knockout game. And then, of course, an 11-year-old girl was killed recently. A guy driving down the road told her he would like to take her and her brother to a movie, and there were more children there. Of course, he ends up assaulting this young lady. And once again, understand this lack of training or the training of this other system. After he does what he wants to and fulfills his own sick lust, he actually kills this young lady by beating her in the head with a tire tool. Think about what that young lady went through, how partaking of the system contributes to it, and being part of the system makes you just as guilty. But imagine a tire tool. That's a piece of iron, and she was struck in the head by this man twice. You can only imagine what that young lady went through. And then, of course, next time you get a soda, shake it up real hard. You might find a rat in it. Someone else did. So be careful what you're drinking. The label can kind of hide things. And then, of course, in Flint, Michigan, the people there have gone through a lot. Recently, a man was caught going through the grocery stores there, walking in with a spray bottle, and watch. Now, he's spraying rat poison, hand sanitizer, and water, that mixture. He's shaking it up, and he's spraying it on the food. Now, of course, they rush in. They arrested him, but he's probably the third party that actually poisoned the food behind Monsanto and the lead water they spray on the fruit before you get it. And Flint.
But notice they really hit on what this man is doing, but they're not hitting on what's already in that food to begin with. And then opioids, the doctor that used to be over the FDA back in the 90s is saying it is the greatest mistake that medicine has made. And he's not saying that opioids or painkillers are a problem. If you listen to what he says, he said they were created to kill the pain so people don't know they're hurting. Well, what he regrets is that the customers are now dying from it. That's his regret. Customers are dying. And then dealing with cancer. This is very interesting, and this will be something to keep an open mind on and looking out to see how this progresses forward. They're now treating brain cancer by infecting someone with the polio virus. And it's interesting. Listen to what they say, because they say this polio virus, they're mixing it with a cold virus, and of course that the cancer itself sends out signals, or cancer itself doesn't send out a signal to where your immune system would know that cancer is there. So they're infecting people with poliovirus, which they say does alert the immune system, and then the immune system attacks the virus. Now, of course, they're trying to Frankenstein and guinea pig these things together, because no one's saying stop the sin. They're, of course, they're making money. They're treating the cause they don't worry with, but they're treating the reaction or the production of a sin, this curse, that's what they're trying to make money on. That's what they're looking to make money on. But watch how they say very carefully that once the immune system knows that it's there, that your body can fight this. Your body can actually deal with things. But you have to be healthy. You have to be able to have a healthy system. And, of course, the best thing to do is not get it to begin with, but you have to work at it in a positive way. And, of course, only the house of Yahweh can show that way. And then, last but not least, a book. I want to show you this book really quickly. This is becoming, it's taken a lot of people by storm that's read this book. It's called Merchants in the Temple. And on RT, they interviewed the man that wrote that book, Merchants in the Temple, and is talking about these agencies. Remember, Pastor said the Vatican is an agency. But watch very carefully. They're talking about how Pope Francis is now fighting with the interagency. There's a battle within the agency, and everyone's vying for power, trying to win over a part of this agency. And the corruption and all of those things that are entailed in there. Well, of course, Babylon is falling, it's crumbling, and there's probably more arguing in that agency about how to deal with this house in Abilene, Texas that's exposing their sin. That's probably what's causing the stir. They don't want to say that. But watch what they're doing, Pope Francis, fighting with those older cardinals. Listen to what they say. And of course, they're threatening to arrest this man. 8 years in prison. And his comment was, I would be surprised if they arrest me. They don't arrest those who molest children. They don't arrest those who embezzle money, but they want to arrest me for exposing what they're doing. Well, of course, the house of Yahweh is the only true source that is exposing this world and this system for what it truly is. So at this time, if we could please play the news. At this time, if everyone will please stand, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins. Hello, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Are you ready? Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. The 12 disciples. If you figure that up, it cost us $750,000 a year to be a saint. If you pay $750,000 a year, times 12 would be what? Man, them poor guys must be working overtime. You get to heaven, you're going to have to make a lot of money then to remain a saint, so the people will pray to you. Oh, what a laugh. What a mess. The way the world is messed up. Wasn't that beautiful how that rainbow and everything tied in to Revelations? Revelations 10:1. I just brought that out last week. Got a lot more to go on it. We got this week, Yisrael Hawkins warns to be careful when searching for salvation and offers tips in new publication.
That starts off at 61,000, pretty high already for just half a day. Praise Yahweh. And then last week, he tells the doctors and scientists the biblical way to do away with sickness and disease, and that's up to over 262,231. And we're the tops on Google again, if you can see that. Praise Yahweh. It's beautiful, Yahweh's way, and what I see in Yahweh's way. And I forgot the bread sacks. I was going to show you that this morning. And we'll get it in the prophetic word, I guess. Yedidia sent me a couple of articles from USA Today. And I thought how great it was because it ties in with what I brought you last week on the eating of the salt. Diabetes rates nearly double in the past three decades, largely because of increase in obesity, which is a lie. This is not what's causing diabetes. But they say obesity and sugar diets, and they know this is not true, but they've got to have something to blame it on. To a report released Wednesday by the World Health Organization, worldwide cases nearly quadrupled, an estimated 422 million adults were living with diabetes in 2014, and it just keeps going up and up and up. That's diabetes. That was up from 108 million. It jumped from 108 million to 422 million since 1980. And they don't know what to blame it on except sugar. Sugar. And the people that's condemning your sugar, they got a sweetener for you to eat that they want to sell you. And it says on there, don't feed the hummingbirds because it'll kill them. Yeah. There's no food value in it. They'll starve to death on it. Mediterranean eras. Now get this. This is the hospital digital drug ordering, safer but can lead to fatal eras. Medication eras are by far more common mistakes made in hospitals. And hospital errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. Did you get that? It tops cancer. It tops everything. The errors in the hospitals alone. The third leading cause of death. We run to death, don't we? Oh, boy. But think about this. Think about this. The diabetes cases up from 108 million in 80 to 422 million in 2014. And you tie this in now, what you read just here, if you just remember what I brought you last week, this comes out in Bottom Line Magazine, why you may want to eat more salt, not less, to lower your risk of heart attack. Well, if you listen closely, you'll find out it's a result of sugar diabetes. It says, lower sodium levels can also increase your resistance to insulin. Did you get that? Insulin? If it decreases your intake for insulin, it causes sugar diabetes. Let me read it to you again. Lowering salt. Stop eating salt like the doctor said. Don't eat salt. Don't pay any attention to what the Savior says or Yahweh tells you. Do what your doctor says and you can go to hell with him. It's that evil. They're going against, they've made their stance in front of Yahweh. I used a couple of words we did years ago. It's in I forgot who it was. where it's one of the commandments, and Yahweh says, don't have any of the hinder gods before me. They are opposed. They are in opposition against me. Well, we use two words to describe that Hebrew word there, and I was called to question about it this week, and that's the reason I looked it up. But it's, what did I do with David's work? I don't know if I hope I have it here. It's 20 verse 3. Because this is what's taking place right now. This is what we're seeing. That's the reason I bring it. Thou shalt not have other gods, is the way the King James Version has it, before me. And of course, we got it translated, 20 verse 3, if you want to read it. It says, opposition against. Well, of course, we use those two words of purpose because one of them means a certain thing in this Hebrew word, and the other means another thing. But one of them means that the gods has taken a stand against Yahweh in opposing him. They've taken a stand against his law to oppose him, to keep him from bringing this plan through. You could translate that, you shall have none of all, and we don't get this on our own, by the way. We've got books that trace it back to the Hebrew without vowel points, and we've got a number of them from different people at different locations, and they all say the same thing about these Hebrew words. So when we work on it, now there's mistakes we haven't seen and worked on yet, but the ones we work on, we do get them straightened out. Well, you shall have none of all the gods, Elohim, that's gods, you left behind at all in opposition against, in defiance of me. And with those words, the experts say it covers the Hebrew words there that they translated in the King James Version, other, that word other, and before me. But this, the gods have taken a stance, and of course, their servants are the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians today. Everyone who is an unbeliever is in opposition to Yahweh, and they're following the gods which have taken their stance, and they're showing this right now. And in one of the pictures, if you noticed, there was my face on one side, the 81 on one side, and then here was another one with a dragon after this rainbow trying to chew it up. If you would stop and think about the beginning and where Yahweh, he allowed mankind to destroy the earth the first time. And he said in chapter 6 of Genesis, you really need to read that in, you know, word for word and really study it out, because the way the King James Version wrote this, it's like Yahweh got angry and said, I wish I hadn't even made man in the first place. Now that's the way they got it written. And of course this wasn't so at all. Yahweh made man subject to vanity. And the apostles understood that. The preachers today don't. All they can understand is what the King James Version wrote. And when you bring them the information showing how the popes changed the King James Version, before it ever came to you, they changed it. They made renditions of the book of Yahweh, and in those renditions, they wouldn't allow certain things to be shown. And they even left out scriptures, and they say the reason they left it out, it's in their own words. That paragraph was problematic. So it's going to cause us trouble. Somebody's going to see that we're a bunch of liars and sitting up here in a city called the divining serpent. Well, we're exposing them, and the gods are against us in this. I know they're against us, and they're telling you don't eat salt. And of course, Yahweh is telling you eat salt. The Savior says it's healthy for you, and this is what you should believe. The preachers say only believe, and I'm saying you must believe. You must believe all that the prophets have spoken. You must believe the Savior, who says seek first the habitation of Yahweh. There go and do what the priest tells you to do. Why would he tell you this? He wants you in his kingdom. That's why he's telling you this. And if you don't want to do that, you won't be in his kingdom. You won't be part of this unified group that's going to take this salt to all the world. You won't be a part of it. But lower sodium levels can also increase your resistance to insulin, which causes diabetes. Every doctor knows that. That's what they call sugar diabetes. And affects your nervous system. Your nervous system runs your whole body. It affects it. And it can cause it to shut down, it says, including your heart rate. If sodium levels fall too low, it can damage your cardiovascular system. Check with your doctor, it says. Well, that's the bottom line right there. It comes from bottom line if you want to look it up and read it. But I didn't write it. Someone else wrote that article. Here's what the world is up to. Russia to test for nuclear weapon, which is so powerful it could reportedly destroy a whole country in seconds. A whole country. That's a pretty powerful weapon. They're saying it's 2,000 times stronger than the one dropped on Hiroshima. The missile is expected to be capable of delivering up to a dozen warheads, allowing to effectively destroy an area the size of Texas. Think of that. The size of Texas. If they dropped a bomb in the middle of Texas, it would wipe out all major cities in the state. That's what they're saying. Even on the coast, even up in the panhandle, everywhere. 750 miles from the point of explosion, it can wipe out everything within 750 miles within the point of explosion. Timeline of terror, the grim power of modern nuclear weapons. The greatest minds, brethren, are studying this. The greatest minds in the world, and they've got them tied up to destruction. Studying how to destroy. That's what the minds are doing. The greatest minds in the world are studying how to destroy you. And where are they getting this inspiration? Of course, from Satan and the agency that Satan is leading. The divining serpent, the leader of the kings of the earth. Malachi Martin told their moves before they ever started making them. In the book, The Keys of This Blood, he meant Genesis 49:9. Nobody knows it until we bring it out. They haven't got sense enough to study on their own. And we bring it out and they start running with it, of course. Sometimes they just ignore it, like they do when we tell them to eat salt. I think that's all I wanted out of this article, but wait just a second. It shows that the United States shows that China is ahead, in fact, a little now. But the United States is still the strongest nation on earth. and will be up until the very end, but the end is not very long, not very far off. The great turning around. Now, our great elder, Benjamin Krause Hawkins, brought that out too, the 2016. This bomb that Russia has created, it's called the RS-28 Sarmat, S-A-R-M-A-T. I think this is named after a Hebrew colony. I haven't checked it out, but I think it's named after a Hebrew colony, and I don't know why just yet, but we'll find out. But I think they were probably people who fought hard and used the sword and the weapons, which that's the weakest thing you could use. People don't know it, but these bombs are the weakest thing you can do. You know what your strongest thing you could do? Strongest thing you got, the strongest strength you got, it's Yahweh's laws. Yahweh's laws. It changes the heart and the mind. Force does not change. It only makes you hate more. The RS-28 Sarmat missile, dubbed Satan II. Satan II. It's named after the serpent. That old serpent called the devil and Satan that deceives the whole world, and they named it Satan II, will replace the SS-18. It is capable of flying at a speed of 7 kilometers. That's 4.3 miles per second. 4.3 miles per second. Every tick of your watch, 4.3 miles is too fast. They can't even catch it. The Sarmat has a range of 6,213 miles. Russia is preparing to test a nuclear missile which is so advanced it could get past NATO defenses and detonate a large slice of Europe within seconds of launching. Seconds. It don't even take a minute to get there. From the place it's launched to any place in Europe, in seconds, it'll get there and destroy everything within 750 miles from point of explosion. Intercontinental ballistic missile will be ready for field trials this summer. You know, let me read you one more thing. The Sarmat missile could deliver a warhead of 40 megatons. That's 2,000 times as powerful as the atom bomb dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Missile could destroy an area up to the size of France or Texas, a range of 6,213 miles, which could allow Moscow to attack London after other European cities, as well as reaching cities of America, on America, West Coast and East Coast. And do it in just a matter of minutes, reaching the United States. Not only are they too fast, their defense system can't even catch them. They're too fast, but they have got rid of the predictable flight path. So if they got it coming in and they can predict it, they can send a missile to intercept it. They can't do that anymore with this one. It maneuvers all the way, so it is terribly difficult for any missile defense system to shoot it down. Well, that's what the greatest minds that they have. They're not the greatest teachers in the world, but they got the greatest minds of the world. State pushes back on transgender bathrooms. This is great, and I want you to understand why. Because I can see the breakdown now of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is fighting inside, by the way. They're fighting each other. But now they're also fighting out here. They're the leaders of the kings of the earth, and they're trying to trying to push sodomy more than anything. That and the ACDC, they're trying to push that. That article is growing, by the way, and we're going to run it again, and we're going to change the name and rewrite the article just a little. But because people don't understand when they use this BC BC and AD and BC, they don't understand that they're worshiping, they're giving honor to two gods that Constantine chose. Constantine himself chose, and he was so stupid, he was so ignorant religiously, scripturally, he thought he'd chosen one God, you know, when he chose those two gods, didn't even know there was two. But he was the one that was authorizing this. He had full power, so he says, this is the God you're going to worship. And then he gives them two. Well, these are the gods you give honor to, these same two that Constantine chose. I've got to make that plainer in that article. Politicians in Texas and Arkansas, in fact, there's eight states, and elsewhere, vowed defiance. They vowed defiance. The United States is not in unity by any means. The Obama administration told public schools across the U.S. on Friday to let transgender students use the bathrooms and locker rooms that match their gender identity. And, of course, much is being said and thought about showing, you know, the disagreement and they're decided to do this by force and just use their judges, the state judges and so forth in each state to try to block this order from the so-called United States. If you disagree and you don't do what the United States tells you to do, you're not in unity with the United States. Now, the United States government collects your taxes, federal taxes, they've got to be paid to the United States government. Then they're issued back to the states to do these projects with. One of them is the school system itself. And if they withdrew the millions of dollars that they support Texas with, Texas will hurt billions of dollars, in fact. But they are being now, the governor says, no, we'll lose the money, that's fine, we'll do it anyway. Well, we'll see how far they go. We saw some already back down from it when they found out they were going to lose their money back that the government gives them each year. But schools that refuse to comply could be hit with civil rights lawsuits from the government and could face a cutoff of federal aid to education. Texas Lieutenant Governor said the state is prepared to forfeit billions rather than let the Obama administration dictate bathroom policy for its 5.2 million students. 5.2 million students. Texas is a big place and could be destroyed with one bomb. Now that's what we've come to. That's the greatest minds in the world have brought you to this point. Here's a man holding up a sign, no men in women's bathrooms. and this is going on now in eight states. I'm glad to see this because it shows that there are people, you know, that are trying to come out of this world. And they don't want any part of this sodomy. And if you, right quickly, if you turn over to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verse 14, I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem. Now he says in another verse 21, he says, I've not sent these prophets. These are not the prophets that Yahweh sent. These are the divining of the agency of the divining serpent that Satan used in Genesis, the first chapter. Now, if you tie a few scriptures together there, you'll know what I'm talking about. You know, there was an agency used there. That agency, the priest, the high priest, or the pope, was named Cain. All the world has gone the way of Cain. That's what Yada says. Yada chapter 1, verse 11, just before you get to Revelation, that shows you this agency sitting on seven hills, it's leader of the kings of the earth. This priest is the one, of course, that led the world into a flood. Yahweh said, now you've killed Abel. His blood is now crying out. He said, now you're cursed from the earth. You're actually cursed from the earth. It wasn't Yahweh sending that curse. It was the microorganisms of which the earth is made, your body is made. I think we're so blessed to have probably the greatest microorganism teacher in the world. That's actually comes here and teaches our students and state. If I'd have had this when I was that age, I would have been at that man's feet daily. It makes me think of an incident where I told a doctor that he was talking about microorganisms, and I was telling him, you know, that I saw in the scriptures that this is what made up the earth, and he wanted to know how. You could see that that's what it is from the earth, this very scripture that I just quoted you, that the earth curses a person who tries to destroy the earth. And they don't really take vengeance. It's not like the microorganisms are taking vengeance, but they're losing their power, their ability when you sin. And of course, the blood that's shed. Well, in chapter 6 there of Genesis then, it shows that the violence had taken over the earth, and the earth was populated. It was populated big time at that time. The men lived old ages, so did the women. They had children pretty close together. They were strong. They were healthy. They lived like 900 to 1,100 years instead of dying at 60 years and so forth, or 34 years, like they're dying now. But the earth was very populated at that time, and it overcrowded the microorganisms that were it overpopulated the crippled microorganisms that governed the rainfall. And if you don't have if the microorganisms cannot govern themselves, that's what governs your raindrops, in fact, and how many raindrops falls at a certain time. We're seeing some of this now, and we'd have a flood right now that would flood the earth if it wasn't for the fact that Yahweh is assisting the microorganism. But he is in control. He's in full control, so it won't let it go too far, but he's letting it go further enough that you'll be able to see it. He says, you're going to see this. He wants you to see it. He wants you to see that you could actually cause another flood. He says he won't allow it, and he sent the rainbow. The rainbow. Get that? And now he's sending us pictures to remind us of this. And he's sending the one he said would come and tell you to remind you of this, along with the picture of the rainbow. And you're still too stupid to believe? Hey, wake up out there, Christians. Pope. Well, of course, you could see that from what occurred there, if you just study this, it wasn't Yahweh causing this. That's the way they wrote it. It was the gods that, of course, that was leading the people. Evil like the gods. And when they overpopulated the earth with microorganisms that were sick, they're sickening them not only with blood, but illegal sexual activities. The same thing that's poisoning the earth and the atmosphere today, then it caused the microorganisms in heaven that govern how much rain falls on the earth, the former and the latter rains, they govern that. Those kingdoms are put in charge and governed by law to do that. But they couldn't do it anymore. So the waters that was above the earth came down. There's nothing there to stop it. There's nothing to tell to govern it to keep it from falling. And it came down in abundance until it destroyed what was destroying it. The firmament, the microorganism. Anyway, we got a teacher that I am so tickled about because he can give you this. Then you can tie it in if you just study. But you've got to study. You've got to build your mind whether you see what you're learning or not. Let it at least learn it. Let it enter your subconscious mind. And then when you're given your subconscious mind, after you prove with your conscious mind that you'll follow the peaceful solution, not the gods and their evil. And if you set your minds today to really follow the peaceful solution and bring it about in every situation, then you'll be ready when the bombs come and when the explosions come and few men are left, you'll be ready to take over and you will be capable of teaching 2 billion people and show them why this all took place. Well, the sodomy that's being pushed forth is part of the destruction of your bodies, but it's also part of the destruction of the microorganisms that make up your bodies. And when you poison a body and that body dies or is shedding this poison while it's still living, that cripples the microorganisms, that's what you see here. That's the reason it's being pushed by Satan. Satan wants sodomy. It cripples the body. It cripples the microorganism. And Jeremiah was inspired to write here, "I have seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing." And on down he says, "Even in my own house have I seen this." Well, they took over the house of Yahweh, violent men, in the days of Solomon. They already had women in there, pretended to be righteous, that had power given to them by Solomon. So when Solomon died, they used these women and took over the land and the temple, everything. They took it all. That's what you see in the history that Yahweh shows us. That's how they got their hold and took over the kingdom of Yahweh, as Yahshua said. But the kingdom is going to be taken from them, was taken from them. Mount Zion plowed like a field, remember? So Yahweh was in control fully, even when they thought they were doing this and thought they were going to get away with it and still have salvation from the gods. You can tell the gods could only go a certain way. They were only allowed a certain steps in certain directions. They couldn't go all the way. Well, here he says now, the prophets of Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They turn from Yahweh and follow after gods, the Elohim. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. Wickedness is just what I got through talking about. Wickedness is destroying the earth. Revelation says it's time for Yahweh to take over and destroy those who destroy the earth. And that right there is not destroy those who destroy the earth. Yahweh's not going to destroy them. He's going to let it be done. If you remember, he's holding back the wars. He's the one that's holding them back at this time. Once he lets this go, lets man have his way, yes, we're going to have it. And it's going to be in this generation. We know that. Then this is the year for the turning around. He shows us that in number. All of them are like, but still in 14, the last part, all of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants are like Gomorrah. Therefore, this is what Yahweh of hosts says concerning these prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, or allow them to drink it. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, this profaneness, notice it. See what he says? From the prophets of Jerusalem, it's gone out to all the world. Well, that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the sodomy pushed big time. If it wasn't for the divining serpent, it wouldn't be pushed like this. They're the ones that's bringing this forth. They've studied it for years and how to maneuver to get their own way. But already now, in their own organization, they're showing no unity there. They're fighting among themselves. The Pope is wanting power. He's as you saw in the articles there, he's wanting power to more power for himself. He doesn't want to take orders from the Vatican. But the Vatican is actually giving him his little scripts to read, and they send him out like Santa Claus to the world leaders and hand them this script, like you saw him do in the meeting with Congress when he was here not too long ago. He handed a certain person a note. Remember that? And what occurred to that person afterwards? Already officials from 8 states, West Virginia, Arizona, Kansas, Nebraska, Texas, Utah, Maine, and North Carolina, signed on to a brief in recent days asking a federal appeals court to rehear a case in which it sided with a Virginia transgender student seeking to use the boys' bathroom. The new guidance, they could build bathrooms. That's not what they're wanting. Bathrooms wouldn't cost that much to build two more to the side of the two they got, you know, if that's what they're wanting. But what they're wanting is to push sodomy. And if Yahweh hadn't have saved a few, if he hadn't have saved a few, we would all be sodomites. Now that's how hard Satan and this agency is pushing this thing. Well, what we see here is the next article that shows us prepping for doomsday. Prepping for doomsday. Oh, this is great. Bunkers, panic rooms, and going off the grid. This was the one that intrigued me the most, the going off the grid. I said, hey, this is really great. And we started searching, and wow, you talk about a bunch of people that's wanting to be self-supporting. And they're saying they're building their own places. They know nothing about raising vegetables or raising their own food, what it takes to do so. But they're trying. Most of them will give up and go back to the world. I know how hard it is. I've been working at it for a few years. So we realize the difficulties in it. The hard part comes when you train a person, for years, and then they quit. That hurts. It hurts bad. And you think, man, what in the world did I do wrong? You know, something's wrong here. A person wouldn't quit this kind of work at this stage in the game. But panic, prepping for doomsday bunkers, panic rooms, and going off the grid is what is taking place here, and people are trying to become self-sufficient. They're buying land, they're building buildings out in the out in the wooded area, putting in electric power from the sun, and building a house there that'll get burned 750 miles away from it, trees and all, covering it with rocks and concrete, and a flimsy garage door. That's not going to help. The Vatican has things better than that. Here's one that's going underground with one made out of steel and going underground with it. And these are the people with lots of money from New York and and other large cities. The plant a garden, raise your animals so you have your own source of food. That is difficult, especially when you're dealing with the next article that I want to bring out. My time is just almost up, but I want to start this one. They live in your guts and digest our food. They actually digest our food. They live in our stomach, our brains, everywhere. They digest our food, make some of us love chocolate. I got some of those. Love chocolate, and may even control mood. I got some of those, too. They can help turn weeds into fuel and gobble up oil spills. Yes, these microorganisms can do all of that. Anyone who watched the Martin learned that crops cannot grow without partner organization in the soil. And what they're speaking of here is the farmers going against the microorganisms. I made the statement about 40-something years ago in Abilene is when I first brought it out, and I said, if the FFA had worked with the microorganisms to improve their health, what we're seeing is dysfunction, of course, from these tiny creatures that you can't see, but they fill your mouth and your lungs and your brain and your guts and everything. You're made up of these creatures, these small creatures. And of course, we poison them. We poison them, as Yahweh shows how we poison them, by eating unclean food, mixing that unclean food with the human body, and creating a mutation of microorganisms that can't do the work, but they make war against those who can do the work. Now that's, in a nutshell, what's going on. But these are working to our benefit, and if what we've learned here is, we're making a host of microorganisms, and we know how to do it, and we're spreading it where it needs to be spread on the soil, and from that soil is coming forth what they call ideal growing, growing soil. Everything is ideal growing soil where we put it. So we know how to do it. I don't know if the average person out there is. I know I met one in Odessa when I was working with Jacob, and he was going to teach the people in the desert how to grow a crop. And I went out and looked at his field, but the man really didn't know anything about making crops grow anywhere, much less the desert. But he found it out the hard way, and he quit after a short time, which is what I think most of these people are going to do that is trying to come out of this system and grow their own. It's a hard job, and if you don't work with the microorganisms all the way, then your cows start breaking down, your soil breaks down, you get poison in your food instead of in the way of dysfunctional microorganisms. You get that in your body, in your brain, in your guts. And, of course, that's what starts breaking down your organs of your body. Well, he says, anyone who watched Martine learned that crops cannot grow without partner organisms in the soil. And I haven't seen this, but I think it would be worthwhile to look at it. I think it'd be educational. I think we probably know more than they do, but it wouldn't hurt to get it and watch it. Now, the White House wants to encourage research into the microbiome, the microbes living in and on animals and dirt, the dirt, the ocean, and the atmosphere. So now they know, they didn't know a few years ago. We told them what to look for. We told them the bacteria is there and it's poisoning the atmosphere, it's poisoning the microorganisms that make up the rain. So now they're spending a lot of money on research because they found out that, yes, the Bible is actually true. And we need to know what to do now to rebuild what we have made poison to the human body. We don't really have a definition of what is healthy, and that's what we need. They don't know what is healthy right now. The world don't. You know, because Yahweh showed you this, and the great wisdom of Yahweh is tops. It can't be beaten. If you would just believe that. We don't have a definition of what is healthy, and that's what we need. White House Office of Science and Technology Policy said in opening a White House event introducing Initiative Friday, we'll want to fix dysfunctional microorganisms or protect microorganisms. We just don't have the tools to do so. The first thing, that they'll never get it done unless they do what Yahweh tells them to. And the first thing, of course, is to stop doing what they're doing wrong. That is, repent. Repent and be converted. Health Yahweh gave us. He gave us laws telling us how to keep ourselves healthy. That's what he gave to Adam and Eve. And it took them quite a while to start breaking down their bodies and breaking down the earth. I think it was about 1,500 years. And of course, once they did it, then everything got out of control. Yahweh brought it back, and he brought back Noah then. And from Abilene came forth enough people to keep it under control down to this generation. And what now with this generation, Yahweh shows that in fact the Savior showed it to you in Matthew 24, that this generation would be the worst ever in man's history. The very worst ever in man's history. Well, that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing sin at its peak. The government is alarmed at the rate that the health is going down, the health of the citizens are going down. And they don't know what it is. They can't define health. And they can't define what's causing the body to break down. They're seeing it in bits and pieces, and they're trying to cover it with a Band-Aid. That's all the intelligence they have. So in putting billions of dollars into this, where they can understand microorganisms, what they're wanting to do is actually change the microorganism, or the ones that are dysfunctional. They want to change them and make them do what they were created to do. Now, if they would stop sinning, and please get this one, every dog on earth today came from, remember how many? It's on Noah's Ark. Every cow came from that. Now, when you try to get a new breed of cattle where you can register that cow as having these qualities, or that dog as having these qualities. To get a new breed recognized in the world today, there has to be several generations of this breed of cow, whether it's Hereford or Black Angus or whatever. Every one of them had to go through the same process of having this bred up to this point where you have a cow that you want, or a beef stock that you want, or one that gives milk. The Holsteins give the most milk. Jerseys give the richest milk. Well, to get this cow now registered, you had to have so many generations of that cow. But even then, if you don't keep up these crosses coming in to that line of cattle, it starts going back. And it goes back to the original. Even the dogs do this too. Any breed of stock will go back to the original after a while. So will the microorganisms if you will stop mistreating those microorganisms. Yes. They will go back to the original after so many generations. As long as we keep putting substitutes in there, someone keeps breaking in and raping. As long as we protect those microorganisms, they will go back to the original and start doing their jobs again. That's set by Yahweh to do so. But the first thing that man has got to do, they could pump all the money in the world into this, but they won't help. They won't help it at all as long as they keep making them sick. The thing you're going to have to do is what Yahweh says in Acts 3 and verse 19. You're going to have to repent, be converted. Everybody in the world is going to have to stop sinning. Now, they're not going to do that, but you are. You're going to come to unity, complete unity with Yahweh, to where you're like Him. You won't allow any sin. Any sin will tear down the microorganisms, and they'll start crying out to Yahweh for help. The people caused a flood in just a few years. That flood won't be, but Yahweh is going to let them burn this time. He's going to let them go their limit and burn themselves to death. He says there won't be root nor branch left of them. That's in Malachi, the 4th chapter. You got that? There won't be root nor branch left. All there will be left is the ones that we're going to be working with. We're going to be working with about 2 billion people here that are left alive. We're going to be teaching them farming, but we're going to be teaching it in a way that the microorganisms will be working with us, not against us. The microorganisms will get their health back. They'll come back healthy and alive. We'll get the rains, the last former and latter rains, and we'll get our land back to where we can plant a crop, and we'll know what we're going to get, a healthy crop from that healthy land. Yeah. I love you. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.